This is the Funny Mummies podcast, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian, writer, actress and mother to two very lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, arts and anyone who can help us in this crazy world of parenting. So settle in as we find the funny side of parenting and being bloody great women. Oh, hello there. You're listening to the Funny Mummies podcast. And this is, yes, still our mini pod sessions. I'm Hattie Ashdown. And with me, of course, is
Gemma Beagley.
We're both here dressed. I've just realised we're both dressed in black. You can't see us.
Yeah.
But we don't know what that reference is.
And we both have black headbands of sort on.
I know, we look quite official or quite dodgy and reader's wifey.
or we're going to break into improv at any given moment.
Yes. Well, so I think we're just going to have a catch up, really. If you've listened to these before, they sort of just end up being a catch up. We hope you're all doing all right and you've been enjoying these short little shows that we hope you can fit in your hectic time of school holidays. I am at breaking point today.
Come on, we've reached the halfway point.
We are the overall umbrella today, hopefully, is going to be positive. You're listening, go, I don't want to hear you moaning because I'm having a really nice time.
Yeah.
It's going to be positive because we're going to talk about small wins and how something happened to me this week and I thought it's really important to celebrate it. But yes, just briefly today, I think it just made me sad today because my oldest has been so good and you sort it's cause kind of like thing of like you relax on your laurels. And I also thought, oh, do you know what? It's getting a bit better taking them both out because I've been scared of it because they're wild animals. They are just wild boys. But today, I don't know if it was just me because I was frazzled, probably a bit of that. But it was just an episode. It's boring now. I was saying to my husband, when I recount it, it sounds like a comedy, but it really wasn't at the time. I was in the bank, Nationwide, just to name them. I'm going to name them because I actually think they didn't really handle things very well, to be honest. Even though my kids were climbing everywhere, mm-hmm. and one was shouting, I want some money. My oldest one was going, I want some money, I want some money. And knowing what he's like, I knew this sort of thing would happen. So we were talking about money on the way there. And and because I know what he's like, you know, I sort of almost treat him like he's a bit autistic, even though he's not diagnosed, you know, just sort of certain things I lay out for him. And I said, I'm going to give you some holiday money when we go on Monday. I'll give you £5 holiday money. So that's how he has to work. But no, he still persisted. And he was just shouting, I want money. And then I was saying no. And then he was just going on and kept nagging and going, can I have money when I'm 8? Can I have a job? Can I get a job then? I said, you can't have money until you get a job. And I'm trying. And you know when you start off all like the patient parent and you're like, well, darling, you know, you have people have jobs or people give you money as a gift. Or, you know, we can sort out giving you money for things you can do
around the house.
I'm like, I'm standing in a queue. I don't want to talk about this now.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I've got to the point where I'm like, and then Buster's like in the buggy and he's going, you know, he's rocking back and forth. And
Did you feel judged as well? Because you're standing in a queue that people would be listening to what you're saying as well.
Yes.
I see. I don't like having those deep convos where I feel like I might be judged.
And that's it. And I think that people have talked about people that smack their kids. Mm. 9 times out of 10, we had a guest come on and she said that she reckoned her dad just smacked her when she was little because it was embarrassment. 9 times out of 10, it was caused for embarrassment. And, right. You know, and I got to a point where I thought, I don't know what to do with them. Like, because then Buster started shouting, I want money. I know this sounds like a comedy, but it really wasn't. I was just like losing it because I was getting judgy looks. And, you know, there was one nice guy who sort of like, because it started off quite funny and then it was just like, it's not funny anymore. And I just was like, it's because I thought I was doing all the textbook things, you know, I was keeping calm. I was explaining to him and he just was not calming down. And then, of course, the baby started and I called him the baby's not anymore. And he's like, I want money. Then he's run off into a meeting room and someone's trying to have a meeting about their mortgage. Pastor's run off, and I'm just like, and then you get to the counter, and the woman behind the counter is just like stony face, and you just want them to go, "Oh, you're right, love," or I don't know, just something. But she looked at me like, "Oh, yeah."
Now, would there have been an opportunity for you to have jumped the queue if someone had offered it, or were the tills just taking ages? Because it's occurred to me that actually in that situation, I'd like to think that it would occur to me. Do you want to go ahead, love?
Yeah, there could have been, yeah, but I really just don't know what could have happened, because I've had it before where people have tried to butt in, and they're like, as in a nice way, they try and talk to the child.
Yeah.
And that just with Hucks will make him worse.
Yeah.
So if he's having one of his fits and someone goes, now, don't, you know, and he just goes, even worse. Yeah. And I, you know, I did all the, like, I sat him down. Like, I came out the queue at one point because I just let this guy go in front of me who I was next. And then I was just like, right, I'm going to calm Huxley down. And I went down to his level, but he was just on one, and he just hasn't been like that. And I was just like, oh. And Alex thinks it's because I'm too soft. So I was like, right, I just stood my ground and said, right, no computer games, you come home. And that was it. He just cried the whole way around Asda's. And I think he's friends with me now, but I'm not always good at standing my ground. And I'm like, but that meant crying the whole way around Asda's. And I mean the whole way.
Yeah.
So I just thought those things were behind me.
Picking your bloody battles, isn't it? It's just so difficult.
And do you know what it is, Gemma, at the root of it? God, this is not funny, but just if anyone else is having this and if anyone else has got any advice, he's getting to that age, he just argues everything. It's like,
kind of, all the time.
Do you want a drink? Yes, here, this cup. No, but I want this cup. And that's not a good example, because he will argue everything. He won't just accept what I'm giving to him. He has to push it that bit further. And it's so exhausting. That's what I mean with the money. It was like, yeah, okay, I didn't get that money. But he's like thinking, but what about, I'm thinking about the future. What about when I'm 8, will I get money? But, you know, generally we've had some good days, and he's been really good over the summer holidays. He's been very cute with his little brother. His little brother's been hard work. So anyway, what about you? You and Al, are you getting on all right?
We're getting on okay. Yep. He's really into football now.
Is he?
Which is good in that it means that he's actually outside rather than just staring at a screen when he's at home. But he does this running commentary. So it's him playing on his own in the garden, and he does this, it's Harry Kane is scoring, and then just, you know, and but then if I tune in it's like, oh god. And also he's just this constantly, you said about the arguing, what I'm getting now is who would win in a match between Birmingham and Ireland, and it's like, I don't know about football, I don't know. How comes Messi doesn't play for Barcelona anymore? I don't know. Google it. I don't know. Like, I can't wait until he can actually Google something. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And he's just really into it. And and he changes the team that he supports every day, whatever. I don't care. But then he tells his dad that he now supports this other team. And his dad is like, it's been buying him football shirts. I don't know how he's affording it, because they're not cheap.
So
his dad is kind of taking it as fact that, okay, so he supports Real Madrid now. It's like, why are you listening to him? He's like, you should know that it's very bizarre. We're doing okay. Yeah, we're doing okay. He went to a play scheme this week.
Right.
That's what they were called in the 80s, play schemes.
I was going to say, that's a blast from the past. place key.
Yeah, he said.
But... I do football there.
He's played it once, I think, and he got told off for kicking the ball too high or something. So he wasn't really, I don't know. But he said that the teachers are, they're all angry. And like he's, again, judgy. Yeah, so he's kind of, oh, so-and-so got time out today. Like there seems to be a lot of, they do seem quite strict. And I don't think he's, well, he doesn't, he's not really used to that. And so he's kind of like, oh, I got told off today. And
oh, you know, really?
So what for? Because I got in the way of a trolley. And I'm like, oh, okay. Just, yeah. So
come
that's
on, it's a holiday place.
Yeah, I know. It's like, come on.
But then I sometimes think, like, come on, we all I got in front of a trolley, so I just just imagining what's going on at that play scheme that they're all just pushing themselves around in Asda's trolley. That's the entertainment today. We're going to play with trolleys. That we all, let's be honest, when something drama happens, that's what stays with us. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes think Hux will come home and the main thing he'll talk about is someone getting told off or, mm-hmm. you know, it's not all, they, like we do, we forget all the blooming good bits.
Yeah, or the boring bits or whatever, yeah.
Bits. But, like, Hux kept coming home before school as I say, saying he was having trouble with this boy and it was breaking my heart, but I really don't think it was that bad, but I think he was just like grabbing onto that rather than all the other good bits. Well, I hope it wasn't, which brings us on to little small wins in some sort of way. So I can't talk about what it was, which is a bit boring, but it's something to do with my career, but it's sort of just because I'm not allowed to yet, which actually makes it sound more exciting than it is. But something to do with my agent. I think I can say that. Whew, I don't get into trouble now. And and even though it's nothing to do with me, in some ways it is. So, and I just was going to go and get a little drink. And then I thought, you know, automatically thought, oh, no, don't, you know, like, don't jinx stuff. Like, oh, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And you know what? I always think back to the conversation I had with Margaret Caborn Smith, who we bloody love on this.
Bloody show. Love her. She's due a return.
She's due a return. If you're a new listener, go back. She's been on about four shows. And me and her had a conversation once because she wrote a sitcom. Was it a sitcom or a sketch show? God, now I've forgotten. And she got a
option.
And we were just talking about, I've already told you this before, how, like, she said how she just, I did make a thing about it, you know, like I did celebrate it a bit. And she's like, even though nothing came of it, she's like, I'm so glad that I did. And because I was telling her, actually, even when I had the blooming sitcom on TV, looking back, I didn't celebrate it. I still was scared. And I sort of regret, even along the process. And some of that was to do, and I don't care if he hears this because he wouldn't ever listen to this podcast, but my writing partner, because he was such a cynical old bugger. And he would admit himself, it was always along the line. I'd always sort of be like, can we sort of celebrate now? And he'd be like, yeah. But he couldn't help himself. That's just how he was. You know, he couldn't, he was sort of so nervous all the time. But it rubbed off on me.
Yes.
If I'd had a partner that rang me up and went, it's on, come on, run! We were jumping up and down.
Yeah.
I would jump. But I mean, that's why he liked me, because I was more the one like that. But then I'd never written a sitcom before. I'd never written any TV before. So I was going, okay, well, that's not cool to do. Then we'll just be really cool about it. And I didn't really celebrate very much or shout about it. You know, I had a bottle of champagne. But, yeah. So I don't know. What do you think? You've had some good
recently. It's that interesting thing, because I was just looking at my face and it was all gnarled up because I was just really annoyed at your writing co-writer.
Oh, was you?
At not letting you celebrate this huge big deal that is absolutely worth celebrating. And I'm doing that whole thing where I'm being your friend and I'm being your advocate and saying, of course, like, you know, I don't know what the details are of this small victory that you've had, but I'm like, yeah, pour yourself a drink.
Yeah.
You know, take yourself out.
Because for me, it's about this moment.
But I wouldn't do it for myself.
Ah.
You know?
Why?
Like because I feel like I need permission. I need to be told to go and celebrate, you know?
Right. I did need to, not so much now, I'm getting better, but then, yes, that's where I was at.
Yeah.
So he wasn't stopping me, but he wasn't giving me permission.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, this was 10 years ago now, so I was a lot younger and naive.
I don't know how to describe him, really. He's a good friend of mine. I suppose he's a mentor in a way.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this guy celebrates every win in his entire, he's so great at that whole, we talk about this, but self-care and just, and celebrating and stuff. And he is, like, he's really good at patting himself on the back. But that's taken years of work for him.
Right.
And when I find myself kind of going, oh, here he is, celebrating again. Like, just, chill out, you know. But you know, and I have to stop myself and go, you need to take a leaf out of his book, you know. But not I've ever bloody do.
Is it because I think mine has been, you know, the superstition or, you know, worrying about that it will be taken away from me. So if I've celebrated, what an idiot I'm going to feel or what an idiot I'm going to look if it all goes wrong. That's what stopped me in the past from celebrating anything. Isn't that why everyone doesn't? No?
No, that's not why I don't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, why don't you then? Oh, God, we're going to get deep.
I think we might get deep. Yeah, I'm not. That's interesting. I might bring that to my therapist. I guess for me, you know, it's not about that it will, you know, don't do it. Because when it all comes to fruition, whatever it is, I still don't celebrate. So it's not about jinxing it for me. I think it is just like a, I don't know if it's like this kind of stiff upper lip, like,
don't,
you know,
make a fuss.
Don't make a fuss. You know, I don't know if that's like a, I mean, I'm not working class, but my parents were. Well, yeah. You know, don't make a fuss.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so, like maybe in a showy offy way. Don't be too showy offy.
Yes, 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 yes.
That's what it is. You don't like to show off, really.
I don't. No, I don't. And given that I want to move into the performing arts and be and I surround myself with show offs, it's interesting that. There's a difference between like a show off.
There's a difference between people that are confident and a bit sassy and they're funny with it, and they're just like, "I am great." To just like, yeah, the I don't know.
But like the blowing of one's own trumpet, I find, but I also appreciate that is completely my hang up. You know, that is my issue, but I don't know if it's envy that I wish I could blow my own trumpet. Or who's blowing my trumpet? Because I'm incapable of blowing my own trumpet. And I am talking about trumpets. I'm not.
Unfortunately, she is. There's not any other.
So can you give me an example of a time where you have celebrated, you have shot your load too early?
Oh, well, you know what? As I said that, and I said, I'm better at it now, I now feel awful because I can't think of anything, even though I keep telling myself to do it. I think also because, well, my sister is brilliant at it. You know, she is someone who will make a sense of occasion for anything. So like you say, she then gives me the permission. So there will be things that I can't think of anything now, but I'm sure there's been little, but my husband also can be a bit like, I think, more like you in the way of like stiff upper lippy type thing. Like he always makes me laugh when I get Prosecco, right? He goes, "Oh, what we're celebrating."
Yeah, yeah.
It's a £6 bottle of Prosecco.
Yeah, yeah.
It's cheaper than the red wine and I just fancied it. But then it makes me, it's become a joke now because then when I open it, he goes, "Woo!"
And I'm like, that sounds fun.
Yeah. But then I feel guilty because I'm like, and then it starts to rub off on me. Actually, funny enough, we've got a bottle down there because I keep going, well, I can't open it because I'm meant to be saving it for celebrating something. It's like, oh, gosh, don't save it. I guess just Well, weirdly, I'm quite, it's not a win really to have a birthday, although you could see it as a win. Over the years, I've sort of like, I've made fusses with my birthday, which some could be again seen as a bit like, all self, right.
Self-indulgent.
Yeah, self-indulgent.
Yeah.
But it, because it started off as a like, I don't know, one year I did some karaoke thing or whatever, and everyone just had such a great time, and everyone who I got together, I was like, it was a little bit of a thing of like, oh, everyone gets together when it's your birthday. Everyone doesn't always make that effort. And so really it's just me being selfish to want to see my friends. And it's not just saying, come and look at me, although they have turned into a bit of that sometimes. But then over the years where I've had years where I've gone, as I've got older, got a bit depressed, and then I stop myself and go, don't be so bloody silly. Be proud that you've made another year, and don't feel sorry for yourself or whatever. Sod it. Arrange something. And I always have to say that thing of like, even if it's just me and Alex and one other friend, we'll have a great time. But yeah, God, you've got to celebrate the small wins.
Yeah, and it's for me, even someone's asked, well, you know, so, well, you don't drink. You know, I'm sort of watching what I eat. So how do you celebrate? And I'm thinking, oh God, how do I celebrate? You know,
right?
Yeah, I mean that's during lockdowns and stuff. So it's just like,
yeah.
But you know, I love to go out for a meal.
Yeah, I mean, there's things you can say. Oh, we'll go out for a meal. We'll go out for afternoon tea, or we'll go out to a spa. Like you can sort of like, obviously you'd say, but yeah, I think it's a state of mind as well. Like this week. When I got that news, I was like, I was going to get some drink, but actually I was like, oh, do you know what? I actually have done quite a lot of drink. I don't want to drink. But I was like, it's just a state of mind that I was like, no, I'm going to pat myself on the back and reward myself another time. But generally just say, yeah, take that. Because especially in my business, there's so many in rejection.
There is, yes, I can imagine, yes, that
and it's been a bit ridiculous lately. And I think that was the other thing. I had a couple of weeks ago a real dip, and I was talking to my other actress friend who I met up with last week when we went to Peace and Riot. Big shout out to Peace and Riot. Whoop, whoop. Peace and Riot is in Dulwich. Go check it out. You can have a coffee, and people will look after your children. And we were both talking about, I've lost the track now, of acting and the rejection thing, and how now we're older, we should be getting more easier because we're tired and because we've got kids. We can't take it so much. Because I said, that's how we felt anyway. I like, almost like when I was younger, so no, maybe just wore me down. I don't know, in some ways I'm harder to it, but it's just like, I think it's because we were both saying we haven't got a lot else, haven't got a lot else going on. And when she had something which she really thought she was going to get, she was like, well, this is in the bag. This is me written all over it. And she said, you should never think that, but you can't help that niggling little voice at the back goes,
I don't know. I mean,
I could get it. And even though you're trying to switch that off and then you find out you didn't get it, she went, I went into such a dip. You can't control that dip. And I think when you're just at home being a mum and you're feeling a bit boring, that little
at drama school, do they actually you can't teach at someone's attitude, but do they actually go through that whole, like, you know, you're going to be rejected, you know, not 95% of the time, you know, you're only going to get one in 20 jobs, and so this is how you can deal with, I mean, I know it's a, you know, that mental health thing has moved on since you were training or what have you.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, I wonder what they do now. I wonder if things are different. I'd love to ask anyone who's recently out of drama college. I mean, I think the even process of getting into drama school prepares you, because it's so hard and, you know, could be quite grueling. So you've straight off the bat, you're learning. I didn't go to drama school as such. I went to drama college, but I, you know, and, you know, the teachers are quite tough and you come from school and it's all been, and so you've got a bit of it because you're like, oh God, you know, they are quite tough. But I think that the other friends that have gone to like really big drama schools seem to have then either they just didn't then go into acting because it like scared the shit out of them so much they didn't go into it. Or, yeah, they were just so horrible to them, which is probably their way of saying this is how you might be treated in the business. But I don't know if that's the right way to do it because it's not about being treated horrible so much. It's the rejection. And, yeah, I don't know. It's always that school of thought of, like whether you should have another job thing, isn't there? Like you hear old actors saying, I never have another string to my bow because there was if I did then
you're not investing in the,
I'm not invested. Yeah. And then other people say, but you've got to have something else because you've got to pay
staff. Yeah,
your staff.
Yeah.
I don't know, but yes. So I think that's why you've got to. And yes, and so what? You've got to be in the moment. Just that whole cheesy thing of being in the moment. Because, yeah, it might get taken away tomorrow, but then you didn't celebrate it. Or just congratulate yourself rather than go straight to the negative, which is what I'll normally would do.
Again, it sounds really grandiose, but I'm supporting someone at the moment who's having a difficult time. And I said to her, right, so someone told me to do this when I was in a bit of a funk a few years ago. Write down do five. So it's not a gratitude list, but five things that you can do to instantly spark some joy in your life, you know. Simple things that you could do
love straight away,
you know. And I gave some examples and I said, you know, mine were at the time I managed to get about 30 down on paper, which was, you know, get myself some flowers, you know, phone my sister, watch Stuart Lee on YouTube, like, you know, just things that I could do absolutely instantly just to jolt me.
Yeah.
And
writing it down because I'm like, I want to do it.
She call me back tomorrow. And do you know what?
What?
She couldn't think of one thing. So terribly sad.
Oh, that is,
you know, now she's going through a bereavement at the, you know, and she, so she's right. Very, you know, she's just in a dark place. And, you know, and we're talking about the kind, I guess, that thing of like allowing yourself to be happy to celebrate whatever. It's just that, you know, this poor woman can't even think of anything good to do.
You know? Dear.
She said, today I put a wash on and it's like, oh, no, that's not really, it's not sparking joy stuff, you know.
But a grief counsellor would probably say,
yes,
start with the real basics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that low, you've got to start with the, like, is having a cup of tea nice? You know, you've got to, wow. Wow. Bless her.
Yeah. Wow. I'm grateful that I'm able to, you know, like sometimes.
Yeah, there's no worse off than you, Gem. Is that what you're
saying? Yeah, no, exactly. Basically, that's why I do it, hey. Oh, it's terrible for you. Isn't my life brilliant? But yeah, I am.
Oh, no, listen, she's actually a volunteer for the Samaritans.
But, you know, yeah, so it's just, and the thing is with that list that I did is that. That list, like, I know where I can see. I can see it where I know it's in a book on the shelf here.
Yeah.
Not that I've ever had to do it, but I know that I can go to that book and there are 30 things written down that I know will give me joy for 30 seconds, even, you know, or whatever it is.
Oh, I'm trying to think what mine are off the top of my head that spark joy. Is cup of tea.
Change my bed sheets.
Change bishop, bath.
Yeah.
I don't do that enough nowadays. Yeah, talking to my friends is a big one, I think. I just don't do it enough. Mm. Enough. And on that note, I hope that we've been like talking to an old friend and we've sparked joy. I tell you what does spark joy is sorted, like what's her name says, you know, clearing out the clothes, which I haven't had a chance to do. I've got to do it. But yes, thank you. We're going to let you go because we've got to keep to our promise of just a little 30 minute or so seconds over show. I am just going to quickly mention, because I'm back on the road, as it were, with Scream with Laughter, the original Lunchtime Comedy Club, where babies can come to. And we're back at our North London venue on the 8th of September.
Great.
And we've got a fantastic lineup. Carl Donnelly, I've forgotten the other person. I think it's Toussaint Douglas. Yes. I've got two men.
Two great comics as well.
Two great comics.
You'll have a great time. Mean.
And I'm sorry. So it's a small venue, so get your tickets quick is all I'm saying.
Because what's the name of the venue, Hattie?
The Snooty Fox, and it's opposite the Canonbury Overground Station, which is N1.
Yeah.
It's N1 or M5. It's basically North London, Stoke Newington sort of way. But check out the website, screamwithlaughter.com. And thank you very much, Gemma.
Thank you, Hattie. I'll see you next time.
I think it's been a laugh. It's been therapy. Mm. Bit of mum and tonic, as we always say. Bye. Thanks for listening. Please tell your friends and anyone else who you want to become a friend. Bye. You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast in association with The Other Woman Show with me, Hattie Ashdown. Thank you to Gemma Beagley and our guest today. Please see the write-up in this episode to find out how you can follow us and our guest online. This show is edited by Alex Holland, recorded via Zoom. The show also goes out on Thursdays on Soho Radio as part of the Other Woman Collective, where often you can hear the full music version of the show. If you'd like to support us and get lots of goodies, like a video version where you can see our mugs, go to Funny Mummies on Patreon, where you can buy us a coffee or maybe an hour's childcare. Thanks very much for listening. Keep subscribing and telling your friends. It really, really does help. We'll see you next time for a dose of Mum and Tonic.